Hello, everybody. This is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
And this is Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com. And we're going to hit another topic in the book, Positive Discipline A to Z by Jane Nelson and Lynn Lott. And we're going to talk about when your children have friends that may not be the best influence on them. We've all had that experience, if you have children, of wondering why your child is hanging out with this certain person that maybe you feel is a bad influence on them or sending them in a direction that you're not happy with. I know with my son, there was a lot of times when he was hanging out with what I would consider the wrong crowd. And, you know, I'd try to stop him from doing that or prevent him from doing that and getting in an argument with him. And he'd always say, well, you can't choose my friends for me.
He was so right.
As it turned out, that's the way it was, but we did our best to try.
It is so interesting that sometimes we just invite rebellion because we try and control instead of working with children again to help them figure out things for themselves. It's very interesting to me that this is very self-disclosing, but when I was in the eighth grade, I had a boyfriend that my parents really objected to. And at the time, we were living in Needles, California. And they just fought that and fought that. They finally moved to Kingman, and I stayed with some friends because my dad was working on construction and moved to the other end of the road. And it didn't take a week after they were gone before we broke up naturally because I wasn't choosing my friends in rebelliousness to them. I wasn't consciously aware of that, but sometimes we're just trying to let our parents know, you can't control me. And I do think that, again, we do have to realize that children will choose their own friends, and we'll talk about what happens. That's when they have trouble choosing, finding friends. But for one thing, we have to realize is that, again, we get too much involved in our children's lives in the wrong ways. And we need to understand that children have different personalities. And some are happy with just one friend, but their parents may think, oh, you need more friends, you need to be more social, instead of just honoring who they are.
Well, what do you do if you have your child and their friend that they're hanging around with is someone that you know is a bad influence on them? There may be, you know, some theft or vandalism involved, and whenever they get together, they do this. Or maybe this person appears to you to show signs of someone who is a drug user, and you're worried that if your child is going to be spending time with that person, that they're going to be involved with that also. So what do you do in those cases?
Two suggestions. First of all, welcome that child into your home. If you're afraid that that child might be a bad influence, that the friend might be a bad influence, have your child invite that friend into your home so you can be a good influence. So the other thing is, instead of telling kids, I think I beat this tool a lot because it is so important, is help them explore the consequences of their choices instead of trying to impose consequences on them. And that's just sometimes to sit down and voice your concerns, but then do it in a way where you get them to think for themselves through curiosity questions and say, what kind of influence does this friend have on you? And what are some of the choices that you think they make that might be good for you or that might be bad for you? And what would happen if you do these kinds of things? And then, of course, taking time to listen to what your child says in answer to these questions. When you're asking curiosity questions, I think it's very important to hear what it says. They are curiosity questions, not, I'm going to ask you this question and I want you to give me the answer that I want you to give me. But it's really getting into the child's world to help them think and to be curious about how they think and what they think. But I think that helping them explore what might happen is much more important than telling them what might happen. The other thing is, I think that a term we called inoculating children for events that might happen, for example, drugs, if you role play with them in advance, how would you handle this situation if somebody tries to get you to do drugs? First of all, what do you think might be the dangers of drugs? What influence do you think it might have in your life? Is this something that you want in your life? And then role play with them. Well, then how would you deal with it if you're out in with a friend and they say, okay, let's go do drugs? How would you handle that? And let them do some role playing in advance so they're prepared for those situations when they do come up. I do want to give you an example. It's sort of related to friends, but also parties. I remember one time when Mary came home and announced that she wanted to get drunk at the 8th grade or 9th grade graduation party. And instead of panicking and saying, no, you're not, and if you do, you'll be grounded, I just asked her, I said, well, tell me more about that. Why are you thinking of doing this? And she said, well, some of my friends are doing it, and it looks like they're having fun. And I said, well, what do your friends say about you now? Because you don't drink. And she thought about that and said, oh, they're always telling me how much they admire me and how much they appreciate that I don't do these things, how proud they are of me. And then I said, well, what do you think they'll say tomorrow after you do this? And she thought again and said, well, they'll probably be disappointed. And then I said, how did you think you'll feel about yourself? And she said, I'll probably feel like a loser. And then she decided, well, I guess I don't think I will do that. And so, again, this was helping her explore. Instead of, what do you think would have happened if I said, well, you better not, or your friends will be disappointed and you'll be feel like a loser? They just tune that out.
Yeah, you just do it just anyway, just despite you, probably.
Exactly. Yes. We don't realize what we invite in kids when we do the lectures. But an extension of that, I do remember one time when Mary said that she was wanted to go to a party. And instead of saying, oh, no, you're not going to go to that party. It'll be a bad influence. Kids will probably be drinking. Again, I said, well, you know, we have faith in you that you'll handle this, because this takes me in another track. One of the posters that we really don't like is, do you know where your kids are? Which creates all kinds of guilt in parents, and they think they need to be controlling and nosy.
Yeah, you can even get your phone system now, your cell phone. You can give your cell phone to a kid, and you can look on the web, and you can find out where that phone is at all times.
Exactly. This a thing of trying to control, which just creates more creative ways of them going underground, so they leave their phone someplace like at a friend's so they can go do whatever they want. But instead of doing all that, we wish there were bumper stickers that would say, do you know your kid? That's much different if you know who they are and you have equipped them with some tools to deal with problems. You don't have to worry so much. So I just told Mary, I said, you know, there might be drinking, or do you think they'll be drinking? And how do you feel about handling that? And she just told me that she was felt confident. But the thing that was so interesting to me is the next day when she told me about the party, she said, well, Mom, one thing I've learned is that when I have kids and they tell me they're going to be staying with a friend, I won't believe them. Because every one of my friends had said, told their parents that they were going to be staying with a friend because they couldn't tell them the truth. And I just am so appreciative that I could tell you the truth and that you had faith in me. And because you had faith in me, I wanted to live up to that.
That kind of feels like maybe you're almost lowering your expectations. You know, I guess some people have certain expectations for their children. And I don't know if you have. Some people may not care if their child goes out and drinks at a party. Matter of fact, some parents may have the party at their house and may provide the liquor for them.
Well, I'm not sure what you meant by when you say it's me lowering my expectations. It's like I'm not lowering my expectations. I'm having faith in my children. It's to me that's very different. I obviously don't want them to drink and to do things that might cause them harm in the future. But I want to have faith in them. First of all, I want to teach them the skills that they need to deal with these kinds of problems, and then have faith in them. Because when I have the kind of high expectations that you may be referring to, what I call that is often parents being trying to be too controlling, which just invites the kids to rebel. So they're getting the opposite of what they want.
So just to review, the primary thing that you're recommending is that you invite the child's friend into your home, so they have them into your house and maybe have a good influence on them.
That's one. You know, another thing we didn't talk about is that at a very early age, I really like this idea of playgroups, where when kids are very young, their parents take them to playgroups, which is giving them a chance at a very early age to make friends. As they get older, though, that's when parents need to step back a little bit more, and they still could take them to places where they could be exposed to friends. But if they try too hard to get their children to make the kind of friends they want, children will do either one of two things. They will either rebel, or they will depend too much on their parents. And then they start using that as an excuse. Well, I'm shy. I want you to take care of me. I can't make friends, because they're learning that that's a good way to get their parents involved with them, which I think is not as healthy as getting their parents involved in helping them to feel capable instead of incapable.
I can see that. One of the things I want to mention, I've been working on the parenting teenagers workshop that we're getting ready to have available. And one of the things I remember as I was listening to it, checking for the audio quality and stuff, was that kids will seek out their own kind in a lot of ways. And I think as parents, at least if my experience is that sometimes we have our blinders on with our own kids. And then when they bring home or start hanging out with these kids who we think are bad influences on them, you know, I think the reality is that maybe our kids are being the bad influence on their kids. Because, you know, I think Lynn was the one that was saying that, is that, you know, if you take your skater son and you move him to a new school, in, you know, 5 minutes, he's going to find the other skaters. If you have a kid that's, you know, using drugs or whatever, in 5 minutes at a new school, he's going to find those kids that are doing that too. And so it's almost like maybe if you look at the kinds of friends that your child is choosing, that you maybe can get in a window into what your child is really like.
And I would like to bring that back to how parents might need to take more responsibility for what they're doing to help create their child's kind, as you say that. Because if parents are trying to be too controlling, which often invites rebellion, then kids are going to find other rebellious kids. And yet, if their parents are being open, accepting, teaching life skills, and helping kids feel capable in themselves, have confidence in themselves, they're going to seek out other friends who feel capable and have confidence. So I'm not trying to place blame on parents. I'm trying to help parents be aware of what they can do to create more closeness and trust, to create more open communication, to help their children develop the belief that I'm capable, that I can handle problems, and that I can talk to my parents, that I can make mistakes without fear of blame and shame and pain, but that my parents will help me explore the consequences of my choices in a safe environment. All of this is what may help, and I'm not going to say you can control all of it, but it may invite less rebellion so that kids will not want to be friends with rebellious kids.
Okay, anything else that we want to add?
That's pretty good.
Okay, so more information on this topic. We'll have the excerpt from the book on the webpage with a link on the show notes at positivediscipline.com/podcast. And more information there on how to ask questions or leave comments, either via voicemail on the phone or email will be available there. So until next time, this is Ken Ainge.
And Jane Nelson.
For Focusing on Solutions from PositiveDiscipline.com.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donnie Osmond, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports or English or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.